Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Here ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated.
Well, we've been looking at the Gospel of John, and last week we saw how Jesus was rejected at his hometown in Nazareth, and because the people chose unbelief, they walked away from him, and they missed seeing his power at work in their lives. And in the midst of that, Jesus sent out his followers. He sent out his 12 disciples to go out and to do ministry. And this week we are going to be looking at the heart of a foolish man and seeing characteristics of what those characteristics look like. Psalm 53 declares that the fool declares that there is no God. I think it's safe to say that an even bigger fool is somebody who knows that there is a God, but chooses to disregard that God and chooses to live as if he doesn't exist. And so that's where we come to with Herod. There's just a little bit of background. There are a number of Herods in the Bible, beginning with Herod the Great, as he's referred to. And Herod the Great, he ruled when Jesus was born. And this Herod here that we're looking at this morning ruled. He was the grandson of, or he was, excuse me, he was a son of Herod. And there are a couple of other Herods that will be after him. But to one degree or another, each one of the Herods you could see, excuse me, to one degree or another, each one of those played the heart of a foolish man. And so we're going to see two characteristics this morning that I see that display the heart of a foolish man. As you see, the heart of a foolish man disregards the word of God, and the heart of a foolish man disregards the power of sin. We need to understand something about Herod. As I mentioned before, Herod was not a fool who was would declare that there was no God. Herod was very aware of the Jewish religion. Though he was not Jewish by birth, he was an Edomite, which means that he was a descendant of Esau. But during the 2nd century BC, the Jews had actually conquered the territory of Edom. And that meant that many of the people of Edom actually became Jews. They understood the Jewish faith and understood who the Jewish prophets were. Not all of them, obviously, but many of them became genuine Jewish in their hearts, but many others would have just known about it. And that is the reason why in Acts chapter 26, when Paul is standing before King Agrippa, who is another Herod, he said to King Agrippa, "King Agrippa, I know that you believe the prophets. I know that you believe them." Now, Paul wasn't saying that King Agrippa was a believer, but what he was saying is that King Agrippa had an understanding of the Jewish faith, and he had grown up listening to the prophets, and so he knew it. He knew he had similar head knowledge, shall we say, of the Jewish faith as somebody who possibly grows up in attending some kind of a Christian school or goes to Sunday school, growing up knowing about Jesus, but not necessarily having a heart, genuine heart for Jesus. But as I mentioned here, Herod knows, has a regard for God. Knows here in verse 20, it tells us that he knew that John the Baptist was a righteous and holy man, and so Herod knew that. And you ask yourself, well, why is it that Herod knew that John was a righteous and holy man? It certainly wasn't. I got a frog in my throat. Doesn't want to leave. Might ask, how is it that Herod knew that John the Baptist was a righteous and holy man? It certainly wasn't by his clothing, and it certainly wasn't because they were buddies, and it certainly wasn't because of his diet. And I'm very thankful it wasn't because of his diet. As you know, John the Baptist ate locusts and grasshoppers, and I don't think anybody would come to church if that was what we had to offer, was a grasshopper hot dish. No, the reason why Herod knew that John the Baptist was a righteous and holy man was because of simply one reason. John the Baptist, in his message and in his preaching, declared that Herod was an adulterer. Herod had encouraged Herodian, as Greg had read. Herod had encouraged Herodian, which was the wife of his brother. He encouraged her to divorce his brother and to marry him, to marry Herod. And so, you know, as you think about that, Herod here is seducing, shall we say, his sister-in-law into marrying him. But if that wasn't bad enough, what actually made this sin of adultery even more evil in the eyes of God was Herod himself had actually married his niece. And so this was not just a sinful adultery, but this was a sinful, incestuous, adulterous relationship. And so there was, in one sense, there was this double condemnation that was hanging over Herod's head. And John the Baptist condemned Herod for that sinful relationship. And the fact that Herod just didn't blow up at John the Baptist, but instead regarded John as a righteous and holy man, is just an example of the witness that God had put into Herod's heart. Paul tells us in Romans 1, God has put the witness of himself into the heart of every man. And Herod knew as a result that what he was doing was wrong. I think there's something that's really that should encourage us here as believers, and that is, if we have a friend of ours, you know, if we have a friend and there's somebody that we have a relationship with, and they claim to be believers, they claim to have been, you know, walking with Christ, and yet we see their life heading down a path that is heading for disaster. As we take the opportunity to step into their lives and to speak the word of God to them, they may not like at the time what we say, but they may very well respect and hear God speaking through us. And we have no idea the impact that word might have. I think of David, who was also a king, and he was an adulterer. And yet Nathan took the time to step into his life and to confront him on his adultery. And God used that to change his heart. And so, yes, God is the one that has to change people's hearts. But God uses us, his servants, and uses his word to do the work of change. But there is something else as I looked at this passage that really excited me about this. And that is Mark 6:20 again tells us that Herod used to liked John to talk to him. It says in 6:20 that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe when he heard him. He was greatly perplexed, yet he heard him gladly. So that tells me that there was times, because Herod had thrown John into prison because of John's message, and yet there was times in that Herod, maybe his conscience was bothering him or something, and he's like, you know what? I think I need to hear John the Baptist. Bring up John the Baptist. And so he would listen, and he would gladly hear him. Now, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, in Luke chapter 8, Luke is telling us who some of the followers of Jesus are. And it tells us in Luke chapter 8, that the end of verse 1, that the 12 were with him. And then in verse 2 it says, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Johanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, was among them. I found it very interesting that Herod, who wanted to hear, gladly heard John the Baptist, would call John the Baptist up and have him brought up from the dungeon so that he could hear him And happened numerous times. We don't know how many times that had happened. But in the room besides Herod was this one, probably Chuza, Herod's personal steward. And every time he came up and Herod heard John the Baptist preaching, there was Chuza, who was able to also hear the message. And what I find very interesting about this is because no doubt Chuza would have been like, why is Herod listening to somebody telling him that he's living in a sinful and adulterous relationship? Chuza would have most likely, because he was Herod's personal steward, would have known Herod's first wife. And yet, over time, most likely, Chuza himself also began to recognize that Herod, that John the Baptist was indeed a holy and righteous man. And Luke doesn't tell us about Chuza himself, whether or not he himself became a believer, but obviously John the Baptist's message had enough of an impact on him that he passed it on to his wife, Joanna. And Joanna, after hearing of John the Baptist's preaching enough, became interested herself enough to go and to hear about Jesus himself. And so what I find encouraging about that is we never know the impact that our speaking into the life of somebody might have. It's very possible that our speaking into the life of somebody, that they themselves, the person that we're speaking to, might not change at all. But it might be somebody else who is there, another friend that we are speaking with, who actually might change as a result. And so, sadly, although Herod says that he gladly listened to God's word, we see that he had a disregard for God's word. And we say, according to the parables that we looked at a couple of weeks ago in Mark chapter 4, we could see that Herod's heart was hard, like the beaten path that Jesus talked about as the birds came and snatched away the good seed. And so I think there's both some encouragement for us here, that as believers, as we have friends that possibly are going down the path, down a wrong way, that we can step into their lives before they actually get to the serious sin in their life, and we can speak the word of God into their life, knowing that God might very well use our word to turn them back, or God might still use our word to produce fruit in somebody else's life as we speak. But there's also a warning here to us as believers that we ourselves need to be careful that we don't disregard the word of God. Jesus, numerous times in the Gospel of Mark, said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You see, chapter 4, verse 9, verse 23, chapter 7, chapter 8, and Herod's heart was not taking heart to what he heard. James tells us and warns us that we need to have a heart that not just hears, but also does what we hear God speaking to us, rather than being deceived. And according to James, Herod deceived himself because he thought, I'm hearing, I'm thinking about it, and it's perplexing, I'm gladly receiving it, I'm gladly hearing it, but that was enough for him. And Herod forgot that God gave his word so that he would respond to it. And James says that as believers, whenever we do that in our lives, it's like looking into a mirror and forgetting the purpose of a mirror. Purpose of a mirror, obviously, is, okay, let's see, I think I'm looking okay. Yeah, I think I'm looking okay. And we obviously don't want to be made a fool of when we go out in public, so we look at a mirror to make sure that our as many of our blemishes can be covered up as possible. And James says that the Word of God is like that too. When we look at the Word of God, we are to recognize that God gave us His Word so that one day we can stand before Him holy and approved in His sight. Oswald Chambers, he said, one step forward in obedience is worth a year of study about it. And I really appreciated that quote. So as believers, when you open up your word in the morning or in the evening, we can remember that it is God's word. Isaiah chapter 66, God says that the one that I will look to and I will regard is the one who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Sadly, Herod, his heart became so dead that he eventually, as we find here, that he actually silenced the one voice from God that was speaking to him. And it's interesting that John the Baptist told his hearers to repent because the Messiah was coming, and Herod chose not to repent. And later in Luke chapter 23, Herod himself had the opportunity to have the Messiah standing before him, and Herod's heart was so hard that all he wanted was Jesus to do some tricks, and as a result of that, he heard nothing from God. And it was because he had chosen to disregard God's word, and it came at great cost in his life. Well, the second thing I see here, the heart of a foolish man disregards the power of sin. Herod had disregarded the word of God, even though he gladly listened to it. He had disregarded it. Disregarded God's word to him to repent and to turn from his ungodly sexual urges. And as a result of him not turning, Herod was clueless to the stranglehold that his sin was having on his life. And I say that because the text tells us that Herod did not want to put John the Baptist to death. He did not want to put John the Baptist to death. He didn't want to put him to death because he knew he was a righteous and holy man. And so he thought everything was under control in his life. Yes, he had John preaching to him, telling him that his sexual life was out of control, but Herod knew that. Herod figured, I think I can control that in my life. And Herod, we find that an opportune time comes in verse 21. Mark tells us that an opportune time came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and his military commanders. And at that opportune time, as Herod was about to discover that the stranglehold of his lack of his controlling his sexual morals had on him led to his downfall here. And even though he liked to listen to John, because of his lack of control and his sexual urge, it led him to make this foolish boast in giving the power to daughter of his wife. And Herod not recognized the sin that had Herod recognized the sin that his sexual urge had on his life, he wouldn't have made such a foolish boast as he did here. And he forgot that the power to overcome that sin in his life came only from God's word. And I think there are a couple of warnings here that I came away with as I saw this. And that, first of all, is that if we're going to disregard the word of God in our life, we need to recognize that when we disregard the word of God in our life, we are also disregarding the ability to fight against sin in our life. Prophet Jeremiah declares the word of God like a hammer and like fire. And the prophet or the writer to the book of Hebrews declares the word of God like a living and an active double-edged sword. And Jesus, when he was experiencing temptation, under temptation from Satan, he responded with the word of God, because the word of God is what has the power, what God uses to defeat the sin in our lives. A second warning here I see is that giving into one sin in our lives often leads to giving into other sins in our life. Had Herod's sexual urges been under God's control, his foolish boast would have also not come about, and he wouldn't have been so foolish to give away something that wasn't his to give away. And so disregarding the word of God in our lives is dangerous, because it plays into the power to overcome and to allow sin to grow in other areas of our life. The psalmist says, "Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And I think that the takeaway for us as God's people here is to recognize that if we disregard the word of God, like Herod did here, disregarded it from the life of, hearing it from the life of John the Baptist, who preached to him we don't know how many times, but because he disregarded it, he disregarded his ability to control the power of sin in his life, because it's the word of God through the Spirit of God that defeats the sin in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I just come before you this morning, and I think of my own heart, and I think of the hearts of all of us here this morning. Lord, you gave us your word to speak to us, to draw us, to teach us more about yourself, to lead us in a relationship with you, to recognize who we are, and that apart from you, we can do nothing. I pray, Father, that as we listen to your word, that we would have hearts that would respond to your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.